This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profiles. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host, Corey Fleck, and I just want to say that I appreciate everybody tuning in over the week on our website and taking some time out of their weekend to listen to our show. I get a number of emails of people saying that that's how they start their weekend off, and hey, that makes me very happy. One thing that we are going to talk about this weekend show is the overall U.S. equity markets and the continued volatility, as well as touch on the bit of a reversal that we saw that started last Friday and continued this week in gold equities. We're actually going to cover both of those topics in the first segment with Chris Vermeulen. He is the founder of The Technical Traders. Chris, let's start off with U.S. markets. The S&P 500, as we are recording this, still up over 4% for this week, but the last 2 weeks were almost a straight down decline, just down to the 50-week moving average. Chris, what do you have to say about the volatility that we've seen in the U.S. markets all this month?
Yeah, well, the volatility, the way that the S&P 500 has sold off is much like what we saw back in August 2015. Very, very similar look and feel. Volatility, the same type of price action. And, you know, we've seen some big volatility. Maybe we've seen the volatility max out already, but I think we're going to continue to see the VIX and price volatility as well continue to be very big, meaning big intraday gaps to the upside, to the downside, and large intraday swings, which we are seeing, and I think it's going to continue on for a couple more weeks. So going forward here, I see the equities market, which is Friday at 1:30 in the afternoon right now, and we just had the S&P 500 run up and tag the 20-day moving average. It hit a couple other technical levels, and it has reversed in a very sharp way in the last 35 minutes or so, which goes to show that the short-term high-momentum technical analysis is spot on. And that's the one thing you find during high-volatility markets is fear and greed are very predictable, meaning technical analysis works extremely well during high volatility. And I think 2018 is going to be like this. I think it's going to be an amazing year for trading. Active investors are definitely going to have to be active. You're going to be rotating your money. But I think equities here are setting up for some great moves going forward, but I think we're going to see, say, the S&P 500, the Dow, I think we're going to see those pull back going into Wednesday. I think we've got a few days of downward pressure here.
Now, Chris, in a longer-term sense, do you make a call that potentially we could see the U.S. equity markets reach all-time highs? I've heard a wide range of opinions here, and I just want to get yours.
You know, I wouldn't cancel it out. It's very possible that that could happen. And if you go back in time and look at major bull market tops, a lot of times you see a big crack to the downside, a big sell-off like we saw here. And then you see the market work its way up and move to all-time highs. It gets everybody comfy and safe feeling again and gets the rest of the money back into the market just before it collapses again and never looks back. So usually it's like those movies, you know, the dead comes back for one last scare before you're done, and that's what the market does when it pokes to a new high after something like this. So I think we're going to see the potential new high come in and tag the market, and it's going to be mass media coverage that it was just a shakeout. We're still in a full-fledged bull market, and then I think we're going to see the second half of this year is going to be pretty ugly for equities.
Okay, interesting comments. Let's shift focus over to gold, more specifically the gold equities. As I mentioned on the onset, to end last week, Friday, we saw a big reversal in high volume for GDX, and that bounced, again, almost right off that lower support zone, right around 21. GDX actually broke slightly below there. we're having a good week this week with GDX up about 4.5% as we're recording. Do you think that this upward move is going to continue, potentially finally breaking out above that around 25 resistance level?
Yeah, well, you and I talked about this 2 weeks ago when we were talking. We were talking about how this 21 level was, you know, the market was gunning for it. It was selling down. And if it could tag that level, it'll most likely be, we'll see some type of technical bounce at minimum. And then we'll see if it has legs behind it. And this week, we've seen a very strong reversal in miners. GDX flushed down through the, pierced through the 21 level, reversed back up for a very strong high volume close. Almost an idea. Identical type of setup we saw back in December, where the market put in a bottom before reversing. And now the GDX, GDXJ, the juniors as well, are both setting up with a high momentum pullback. And when you have a strong reversal, a big reversal like we've seen at a key support zone, a very strong rally on heavy volume, you can usually buy the first pause or the first pullback and expect it to explode up and hit that second measured move, double the, you know, the more or less this first surge that we saw. So I think there's a lot of potential in gold miners here. I think today, maybe Tuesday, will be a little bit more potential downside or sideways movement. But all it is taking a quick breather after that huge move we saw the other day. And I think we're going to see this momentum carry on for GDX to potentially rally up to 24 very quickly from where it's at.
Okay, so again, you're seeing it more or less remain in this range that it has traded in for over a year. I think a lot of people are still just sitting on the sidelines waiting for a breakout. Do you think if GDX was able to break above that, again, let's say like 25, 2550 level, that that would force more money into the sector? Or do we need to prove even more to people since it's taken so long?
Yeah, I think it's going to take a lot to prove, but you know, you zoom way back on the chart and you look at the formation that's going, you know, it looks like the bear market is completely over in gold miners. We've had that initial massive surge in price of, we've seen GDX more or less go from 13 or 1250 all the way up to like 31 and change. And now it's pulled back. When you look at the big long-term charts, this is exactly what I just explained on the daily chart for GDX. When you have a very strong momentum move, the first pause and pullback can be bought. And when you look at the long-term charts, this big consolidation we've seen for the last year and a half is that first major pause for this major trend that is taking place. So I do think that we need to close over that 25 mark and for more people to jump on board and trigger it. But overall, the charts look very good long-term for much higher prices for gold miners.
Can I get just a very quick comment on silver too? Are you seeing some nice upside moves here?
Silver chart, I really like a lot. I think silver's got some potential to rocket and explode higher like we saw in 2010. I think it's building up a lot more energy than gold. So I really like the chart of silver. The technicals, the way it's been moving, it's just primed and ready, but it's still in consolidation mode. But again, if silver can get up over, 1850, 19 mark, that will have cleared a lot of key resistance points and really kick momentum to the high side into high gear. And we can see a strong surge back up into the low 20s, and it could be off to the races after that. So silver, I definitely like it more than gold. Gold is kind of big and boring. Silver is kind of the silver rocket ship. If you can get the timing right, and it's been building a lot of momentum or more or less a lot of power. The longer something consolidates an entire range, the more power it has. And silver, it's got a very nice coil price action forming.
Hey, that'd be very encouraging if silver could start to lead the charge. And if the gold stocks could start leading the charge, you and I have talked about that. I've talked about that with a number of different people. We're all, I think, just waiting for that breakout to come, whether it's going to be the first half of this year or the second half. Interesting to see, but it is encouraging to continue to see the metals hang up there pretty well, and base metals actually performed again quite well this week. It was, again, another interesting week. February is just fantastic for traders and volatility. volatility. We're finally starting to get a little bit of that wake-up call that we've all been waiting for the U.S. markets. Chris, it's great chatting with you. It's great having you on the show on a regular basis. Have a great rest of your weekend there, Chris.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating an extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, that's radio.recordedvideo.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Your weekly fix on
on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. Chatting in this segment with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. And Dana, the last time we talked was at the very start of February. Perfect timing for what was and has been a very volatile and quite a significant correction in terms of the U.S. equity markets. Since we haven't talked at all during this correction, what is your general takeaway from the moves we've seen so far this month?
Well, for one, it was quite historic. The nature, not only the nature, but the conditions setting up that pullback or correction, whatever you want to call it, for a couple reasons. A, as I described off air, we have an intermediate timing model that pretty much lays out the risk over the intermediate term, which we call like the next 2 to 6 months or so. And we've been using it, some variation of it, pretty much in tech for several decades. And over that time, this is about as sharp a correction as we've seen while that model was in a buy signal. Now, let me describe the model a little bit. A lot of it has to do with the internal structure of the market, the breadth, how many stocks are basically in on solid footing versus weakening. So based on our model, the internal foundation was still structurally sound when that correction started. Secondly, most averages were at all-time highs, which the combination of those two factors, we've never seen a durable major top in the market under those or a durable major correction or bear market start under either of those conditions, really. So the severity of it, the swiftness of it caught us off guard a little bit, and I think a lot of that had to do with that, obviously, the unwind of that short volatility trade that everyone knew was going to blow up, and it did blow up. No one knew when or the nature of it, but I think that obviously accentuated the severity of the decline. But throughout the correction, our thought has been the same, that given the structurally sound position or status of the market going into that correction, that we would probably come out of it okay, and that is probably more or less a shot across the bow and kind of a shakeout, not only in volatility but some of the equity market, before setting up probably some sort of a low and then a continuation of the rally before a more significant top maybe later this year.
Yeah, that crowded short volatility play. Everyone was waiting for it to blow up, and I think that's a great reason why we had such a fast, quick correction, over 12% correction in a matter of 2 weeks. Now, there's one question that everybody is asking, especially the bears, saying, was that the top of the markets? Are we ever going to see another new high? You made a great comment to me off mic that said, bear markets never start from all-time highs. Can you discuss the balance between these comments?
Right. Typically, you'll see some sort of weakening in both the internal structure of the market, so the number of stocks participating in a rally. So you'll see some sort of a divergence. Either you'll see the large cap averages, maybe the S&P go to new highs, continue to go to new highs, while the small cap, the Russell 2000 does not, or the value line average does not, or the advanced decline line does not hit new highs. So you see some, at least some measure degree of deterioration in the internal, in the broader market, and that is typically seen in the risk model that we run on an intermediate term basis. So we typically see some sort of a deterioration in the internals prior to the ultimate top, in a major top in like either a cyclical or secular cycle for sure. And also, you don't typically see crashy like action like we saw in prices right off of an all-time high. You know, normally you see, like in 1987, you saw a little bit of a pullback, a bounce, You saw the all-time highs in August. You saw a little pullback for a month, a minor little bump up before you saw that crashy type action in October. So this was unusual in that regard. But given, like I said, given the conditions going into this recent correction, we don't think it is the beginning of anything major or durable as far as a bear market is concerned. That's not to say that we're not close to the beginning of something like that, which we feel that we are. It's just the conditions, in our view, are not ripe for that type of a bear market just yet.
So looking back in history, I think it's always important to understand that history does rhyme. It doesn't necessarily repeat, but we have seen other market moves kind of like what we saw to kick off this year in terms of January and then February back in 2007. Can you discuss some of the similarities that you are seeing between 2007 and 2018?
Yeah, first, one caveat, I don't want to, I want to be hesitate to compare, necessarily paint 2018 as a 2007, a repeat of 2007. I think there's a good chance that things will rhyme between the 2 years. But going back to the early 2007, we had the same type of market, you know, that slow drift upward, basically low volatility, steadily drifting up every single day. We're at all-time highs in late February of 2007, and the rug got pulled out from underneath the market. It's similar to what happened, you know, a couple weeks ago. And it was at that time we thought, you know, that's probably shot across the bow as well, considering the market, the structure of the market was still pretty sound, despite the scary sell-off that ensued for a couple weeks. But after the sell-off, we basically, similar to what's transpired since the low of a week ago, we basically ran the same game plan, same roadmap that many corrections typically run, meaning you get the initial low like we saw last week. You get a bump up for a couple days or weeks, a nice little bump in the market like we're getting up until today. You run into some resistance. You get some sort of a retracement or a retest of the prior lows. But like that 2007 event, we think this one will probably right itself and will start rallying again, or most areas of the market will start rallying again in the intermediate term before, like I said, some more serious either correction or more serious bear market ensues. So I think, well, again, I don't want to, all cycles are different. I don't want to say this is going to be exactly February 2007, but there are a lot of similarities between the two events in our mind.
All right. Thank you for your comments, Dan. Focused on the U.S. equity markets. It's always great having you on the show. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back with Peter Buchvar.
Thanks, Corey. You too.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Over the last 4 years, three of the biggest online precious metal dealers have gone bankrupt and their owners put in prison due to theft or fraud. Having previously purchased precious metals, can you be sure you purchased the right product? Did you receive proper advice? Or were you stung by one of these companies? Miles Franklin has been in business for 29 years without receiving any material customer or regulatory complaints ever. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice, bar none. Call us at 866-485-4346 and let us review your portfolio at no commitment whatsoever. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Get the peace of mind you deserve in working with a precious metals company with a reputation like Miles Franklin. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Precious Metals, the name you can trust.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of True Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Peter Bookbart. He is the Chief Investment Officer at Bleakley Advisory Group. Peter, what I want to talk about is kind of big picture, what we're seeing in the markets, more specifically volatility. You and I were talking off mic, and you made the comment that this is just the beginning of volatility, you think, for this year and potentially even throughout more years. Why do you make that comment?
I think it's the changing monetary landscape that we're in, which is coinciding with a rise in interest rates. Now, 2017 was best defined as fiscal reform and regulatory relief dominating, and that even though the Fed accelerated the rate hikes, started the process of shrinking their balance sheet, was overwhelmed by the Trumponomics and what tax reform can do for corporate earnings and the economy. I think that now that that's done and we shift it to this year, I think that the rise in interest rates and a removal, continued removal of accommodation, not just here, but overseas, particularly in Europe, as they have cut QE in half and will likely end it at the latter part of this year, in addition to the Bank of Japan buying less securities. There is a changing liquidity environment, a rising interest rate environment, and considering that equity prices are valued at or around the highest levels ever, and I include early 2000, there was little room for error. And I think the story of 2018 will be dominated by that and will overwhelm the tailwind of lower taxes and less regulation.
So in terms of this rising interest rate environment that we're in, you and I have talked about this a number of times, and I fully believe that we will continue to see rising interest rates, especially because central banks are slowly stepping more and more out of that market. Do you think there's a potential, though, that we almost get an explosion in interest rates rather than this slow, steady grind higher?
Well, if all else was equal and we just focused on the U.S., I would say, okay, we can have a steady rise rather than an explosion. The problem is that what happens in U.S. bond market and U.S. interest rates, a lot of it will be determined by where overseas interest rates go, particularly Europe, because, like I said, the ECB is pulling back. And if... Look at 2015, the German 10-year, and we're not talking about a third world country, we're talking about Germany. The German 10-year yield in 2015 touched intraday that summer at about 6 or 7 basis points. A month later, it was trading at 60 basis points, and a month after that, it was at 100 basis points. To me, going from 6 to 100 basis points in 2 months is an explosion higher in interest rates. If that were to happen again in Europe, as Draghi loses control of the bond market there, because outside of Japan, that's the epicenter of this global bond bubble, certainly with negative interest rates as well, that would cause a big problem in U.S. interest rates because we're all tied together. We're all in this bond bubble together. So I think that would really be the determining factor of how fast interest rates can go. But also, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the U.S. interest rates can move higher quicker just on our own. I mean, we know how slow the Fed has been in responding to the recovery. I mean, here we are in the ninth year of this expansion, and the Fed funds rate is 1.25 to 1.5. I mean, we still have negative interest rates. I mean, it's a pathetically slow pace that is now really catching up to the Fed, particularly after the inflation data that we saw this week. So if the Fed decides, let's continue to be gradual because they're afraid of their own shadow and they're afraid of hurting the economy, well, the long end of the yield curve is going to tighten for them, which has already happened. I mean, the 10-year yield is up 50 basis points in 6 weeks. So essentially, they've tightened well ahead of the Fed deciding to tighten in March. And that means the average 30-year mortgage rate is all of a sudden at a four-year high. So we're seeing a pretty rapid move already. And I unfortunately expect this to continue.
Well, I'm glad you brought up inflation as well. And let's go through some of that inflation data that we saw this week and also compare it to real interest rates. It's one thing we try to follow closely because real interest rates have a pretty direct impact on resources that we cover a lot. What is the balance here that you're seeing between inflation, between interest rates, which then leads to what the actual real interest rates are?
Well, real interest rates are certainly creeping up here, but if inflation is going to continue higher, I don't expect a large rise in real interest rates, and I expect that to happen. I mean, U.S. is facing this persistent stickiness in commodity prices. The CRB index is just off a three-year high. We, of course, have wage pressures that are building. We have supply issues that are occurring that's raising the cost of doing business, particularly in transportation, where companies are finding it more and more difficult just to get trucks to deliver goods from point A to point B. And we have, this is late-stage economic-type stories, and the unemployment rate is likely to break below 4% soon. So we're stretching the capacity band, and I don't think the Fed is prepared for this. I mean, this is what happens. This is the aftermath of the Fed waiting as long as they did to raise interest rates. Instead of raising once in 2015, 2016, they should have been raising multiple times each of those years, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. They'd be well ahead of the curve. Interest rates would be positive on a real basis, and they wouldn't have to really be in the situation that they need to play catch-up, which is what they warned about. They said we need to raise interest rates because we don't want to get stuck, forced to having to accelerate. Well, now they're potentially getting into that situation because they're losing some control here at the longer end of interest rates.
Absolutely. But do you think that we are going to continue to see higher and higher inflation, or is this almost just going to be the warning at the start of the year, almost like what we had last year where people thought we'd see higher inflation and it just didn't really perk up until almost the end of the year? Are we setting up for that again this year?
I think we are. And I want to emphasize that this is higher cyclical inflation. More so than secular. Cyclical, again, driven by the factors I mentioned, wages, commodities, supply constraints. But that's still enough to really upset things here. I mean, the visual is that Draghi and Bernanke and Yellen and Kuroda and Mark Carney, the Bank of England, you know, sitting on these beach balls, which are interest rates, and trying to suppress them under the water. And that could work for a period of time, but at some point that beach ball is going to pop up, and now it's beginning to pop up. And, you know, they created an epic bubble, probably the biggest one we've ever seen in terms of dollar size, again, particularly in Japan and in Europe. And now that bubble is leaking east.
Yeah, they are overpriced. And just looking at those P.E. ratios, it just doesn't make sense for that to continue, especially if we do continue to see higher interest rates. Can we switch focus and just get a quick comment from you on the resource sector? We talk about it a lot on our site, but I know as somebody in your position who doesn't necessarily focus on it every day, what is your assessment on the general health and potential benefits of being invested in the resource sector?
Well, I got bullish on the commodity, the industrial metals, a couple of years ago when we saw a huge collapse in mining investment, and we saw capacity cuts in all the major players, in addition to China even acknowledging that they have excess capacity in a lot of different areas, and they even wanted to start focusing on trimming capacity. Whether they've done that or not remains to be seen, because some of the things they've taken online have been replaced by newer smelters, but I do think there was a concerted effort globally to trim capacity. So some of this move in commodities is definitely supply reasons.
Okay. Always interesting chatting with you there, Peter. I highly respect everything that you have to say. I always read over all of your emails and take to heart your overall narrative for the investment markets and the world overall. So it's great having you on the show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend, and I appreciate you spending some time with us. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Corey. Great to be here.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camusso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camusso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamussoCPA.com. That's CamussoCPA.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, Do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com. Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutral. Neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Again, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in this weekend and hearing what all of our guests have to say. This segment, I know it might not sound all that exciting, but I think it's very valuable to all the resource investors that listen into our show. I am chatting with Joe Mazumdar. He is Brent Cook's partner over at Exploration Insights. And Joe, we're going back over an article that you wrote early on this month that talks about resource estimations and the downfalls, but also some of the benefits that come on the back of them. You wrote this article on the back of the Pretium news where they had to, well, essentially reconcile some of their grades, and quite frankly, it just didn't live up to what investors were hoping they would see and what they were told earlier on. Take us through initially why, again, you wrote this article, but why you think it's important for investors to understand some of the downfalls of resource estimates.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks for having me again. On resource estimates, I mean, the important thing here is that all our valuations, especially for these single asset, non-cash flowing junior companies, is based on what they have. And, you know, what they have is that resource. So that what we think they have is the basis of everything that generates their enterprise value. So that underlying number you know, has to be close to being correct. In you know, I mean, again, it's an estimate, but we want to know directionally. This is what it is, the volume wise and grade. So estimating resources is fundamental behind valuing these junior stocks.
It really is. And resource estimates, you know what, they can provide the market with a general idea of what the actual resource is at a certain property. But we've seen time and time again that these resource estimates just don't turn out to actually be representative. You did actually go into a little bit of a discussion between the types of mineral reserves that we could see. This indicated and measured compared to proven and probable. Where's the balance here and the importance in your eyes?
Well, I mean, when we go into the rough resource calculation, and everything is going to be different. If we look at gold, more of the issues tend to happen with gold because we're talking parts per million versus percents that we would maybe talk about with base metals and other ore bodies. Gold is much. You're trying to value a small portion of a big volume of rock, and you're trying to estimate this, you know, based on drill holes that are the diameter of a bottle of Malbec, and the distance between these could be 100, 200 meters. The wider the distance, the more likely that you'll be wrong. And you're guessing such that it falls into the inferred category. The big leap is when you actually push this from inferred into the indicated and potentially the measured category, because the indicated and the measured can be converted into reserves, which in the end form the basis of a pre-feasibility and a feasibility study. So that's really the big step. When we have inferred resources, we should all understand that there's a big chance, you know, that this is highly speculative. But when we start moving into indicated and measured, the market will get the impression that, oh, we know enough here that if we drape some economics around this, how we mine it, what capital this needs, the costs for metallurgy, the recoveries, that we can get some economics around this. That's really the big step. And the problem that we've seen is taking that step, even though we've got, you know, measured and indicated and potentially reserves, we could still run into problems.
Yeah, the one thing to consider, too, is that a resource estimate, especially a 43-101, that's really just the first step in understanding the project. There are a number of other studies that need to be done afterwards if the company is actually going to either bring that resource into production or even package it up for sale. Can you explain to us kind of the keys to understanding that this simply is just an initial estimate?
Well, it is. I mean, it is an initial estimate, but that estimate might be what the company uses. Like we've seen people, you know, companies go with a resource that might be a decade old, and they still use that resource going forward. And then they design a mine plan around it, assuming that it's there. And what we've seen is some of the issues are basically around that transition. Because I've seen a very good, you know, mine developer come in to a project, and let's say they've done underground mine development in third world countries. They understand what's required, but they come in assuming that the resource is correct. So that measured and indicated that was estimated a few years ago or 5 years ago, they're assuming that exists. And now the company is paying me and my shareholders are pushing me to get it out, recover it, and generate cash flow out of it. But the underlying assumption I'm making, and the market's making really, is that that measured indicated is real. And that can sometimes be a big mistake.
There's also another issue that you pointed out that talks to independence in terms of the companies that get hired to do these resources, plus also you could argue the management's biased as to what they actually want the market to see. take us through how you balance out some of these independence issues and how you look into if it is actually an independent resource.
Yeah, I guess, in terms of where we've seen issues, we've highlighted some of the problems we've seen. One of them is this independence, because a company actually pays for the consultant to actually do the resource, and they get a good idea from the people that come in as consultants. They might look at three or four of them, but they'll probably tend to go with the one that will be the most amenable to getting them to the number that they potentially already promised the investors. And if somebody can't get to that number, they probably won't be at the top of the list. So that independence is really the issue. I mean, but our problem is that not every investor can pay for, attain the data, pay for another person outside to do an independent, a truly independent resource estimate and come up with their own numbers. We've done that on occasion. Banks will do that, and that's why, you know, when we see bank debt, we're a little bit more assured that somebody independent came in and basically audited the resource. But we've also seen, in one case, like in Midway Gold's Pan project, that we did have bank debt, we did have another party come in to do an independent resource, and still it was wrong. So Midway Gold's Pan project and the difference in that resource and the issues that they had are unique in the sense that they did have an independent resource audit from a third party, and that still was wrong.
So, Joe, are there any tricks or certain aspects of resource estimates that you tend to focus on a bit more that you think maybe people are missing out on the importance of any certain numbers that come out of them?
Well, I guess getting back to some of the issues and why resource estimates are wrong is one of the big things that we've seen is like when companies collapse, it's, you know, not the mining cost was wrong or the processing cost was wrong or even the capital numbers are that wrong. It's usually something as, you know, big like the resource just doesn't exist. And what we've seen on that is because people have failed to marry the geological controls on the mineralization with the math and the statistics that they've used to derive the estimate. They haven't basically imposed that geology on the resource estimate. And failing to do that, you end up pushing theoretical mineralization into an area where it doesn't exist. And you know, in the inferred category, you're doing that even more speculatively, but you could still do it in the indicated category, especially if the grade is very high. So that's one issue. The independence issue is another thing. And what we've also noticed is that there's really a lack of practical experience with the resource estimators. They haven't been out into the field. They haven't mapped rocks. There's a real practical experience issue with some resource estimates.
Joe, unfortunately, we are out of time for the radio. You and I do continue this conversation, which everyone can listen to its entirety at our website, kereport.com. Also, the second hour is going to be a best of KER politics, and next week I will be taking over the full show for the time being, focused on investing and resources. Everybody have a great weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm feeling
everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, I'm Craig Sammet, Chief Clinical Officer from Anthem. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time, but some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why the Anthem Foundation supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.